First, I'd like to start off with a word of prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you that I have an opportunity to preach your word and to just share with my friends and family what you laid on my heart and what I've been teaching the youth. And I thank you for it. And give me the words to say as I go through your word and what you've been working on through me these past weeks. And in your name, amen. So, a couple years ago, I worked at a factory. This wasn't a normal factory. It was like a plastic factory. It was very hot all the time. It was very hard. I remember sweating constantly. I didn't really like the job. I remember right when I first showed up, the guy that was training me told me, as soon as you take this job, you need to get out of here as soon as you can. And I said, okay. So I learned just with the factory job, God taught me a lot of things. He taught me a lot of patience because when I first accepted the job, I didn't really like it because the main reason is because God was working through my other friends through various ways, like through Bible school, summer camp, and they were using their Bible school training in a way that I could see. But what I couldn't see is that God put me at that factory. God wanted me to be there. So after working there grudgingly and with a bad attitude, I finally figured out why God wanted me at the factory. I was reading through His Word, and He talked about witnessing to those around you. He showed me through His Word that I have a responsibility to reach the lost, to look for witnessing opportunities. And when I had that attitude, when I had that perspective, that the reason why God put me there was to witness to my fellow co-workers, it made it a lot more fun, and it was a lot clearer. So, as Christians, we need to look for witnessing opportunities. There are things we need to do to find witnessing opportunities. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. And while you turn there, I'm going to give a little bit of context to the passage. So pretty much the book of Ephesians is a letter Paul wrote to one of his churches, Ephesus. He wrote it to kind of help them and encourage them and show them how to be a better church. In chapter 6, before this passage, it talks the whole armor of God. And it's very important to know that being out on the mission field, working every day, is a battlefield. So, before I start reading that, I would like to explain what the gospel is. The gospel is simply this. It's simply believing that Jesus Christ died for us in the place of us, and that through believing in Jesus Christ, that is the only way that we can have a relationship with God. So it's believing that Christ took our place for our sin and that He rose on the third day. So that's what the gospel is. And now I'm going to read the passage. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's in prison, and while he's in prison, he's encouraging the people to witness, to look for opportunities, to pray for him to have opportunities. There are three things we need to do to find witnessing opportunities. The first thing we need to do is to be praying. It says so in verse 18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. You know, Paul is encouraging those people to pray. We need to be in the Spirit. I think of Galatians
5:16, where it says that, but I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if we walk by the Spirit, we'll have a proper view of how to witness. We need to be praying for other people to have witnessing opportunities. I think of how important it is to pray for different witnessing opportunities. I can think of how the youth group is going to Cedar Point soon and how we could all be praying that maybe while we're waiting in the hot lines, we could be witnessing and sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. Another thing we need to be doing is praying for us to have witnessing opportunities. I think of that big hill that overlooks Dow off Poseyville Road. When I think of that hill, every time I pray for Midland, because when I was in Bible school, we watched a missions video where a missionary would get up to the top part of the city, and he would pray for the city specifically for a good 30 minutes. And that made me think, you know, we could be praying for Midland. We could be on top of that hill praying for specific people in Midland. So I encourage us to pray for witnessing opportunities for ourselves. For the words to say, like, I struggle with saying words sometimes, and this summer I got an opportunity to go on outreach, and one of the things that helped me when I was outreaching was just praying that God would give me the words to say right there, right then and there, just a quick prayer. And it helped me say the right words, and I actually got to reassure a Catholic lady of her salvation and tell her that it wasn't based on what she did, but who she believed in. I think another thing to pray for is that we can be bold. It even says that Paul wants his church members to pray for him to be bold. The words may be given to me, and that I may boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. It says it right there. And that's important because sometimes it's easy to be afraid, especially when sharing the gospel. One of the examples, I think, of in my life that means the most to me is when I went to Bible school, I went to a small, tiny town in Wyoming. There was like 400 people, and 200 of the people were the college. So it wasn't a very big town. And so I was thinking, you know, there can't be any witnessing opportunities in here. You know, it's mostly ranchers and Bible school students. But God burdened on my heart that I should pray, that I should pray for witnessing opportunities. And sure enough, He gave me one. There was a guy that not a lot of people liked. He was alone and he struggled with alcohol. And I got an opportunity to witness to him because he liked tan and furs. And that's one of the things I like doing. So I really got an opportunity, not by what I did, but praying for God to give me one. And He did. And I challenge you guys to pray for it because you'll be surprised in how many times God will give you witnessing opportunities. The second thing we need to do to have witnessing opportunities is to be alert. It says in verse 18 again, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance. And so we need to keep alert, keep it at the edge of our mind. Look for day-to-day opportunities in life. You know, I think of tonight being community night and us going out and going out into the community. I think one of the best things to look for witnessing opportunities is in something you like, something you enjoy. I mentioned trapping, but another example would be I like video games sometimes. I mean, I play them with friends, and some of the exchange students that used to go to Calvary, I still sometimes play with them. And it's a good way to build that relationship, to build that opportunity to share the gospel. So I challenge us to do something that we love and make it a priority. Be alert to look for gospel opportunities. One thing is just look for opportunities to hang out with people. I worked at Walmart with a guy, and he had a lot of free time, and his name was Mike, and I asked him one day, I said, "Hey, would you like to hang out sometime?" And he said, "I'd love to. I'm bored and I need something to do." So sure enough, there's an opportunity right there. We went bowling and we talked about the gospel, and he told me about how he thought that if you were good enough, God would let you into heaven. And I'm still working on witnessing to him today. I still pray for him every time I bowl or every time I think about him. It's constantly on my mind. I think of someone who's alert to look for witnessing opportunities is also keeping Christians accountable, keeping each other accountable to look for them. I think of Paul as a great example. Just even in Ephesians, he encourages his church to be sharing the gospel, to be looking for opportunities. I think, as I mentioned before, it's good to pray for people, to pray earnestly, as the Ephesians were doing for Paul. Another thing that has really helped me in my walk with God is just people that encouraged me to witness. People that were constantly pushing me to look for opportunities, to look for ways to witness. I think of one of my really close friends went to a community college and is a believer, and I encouraged him to look for opportunities, to look for people to start up conversations with in class. And it was cool to pray and see how he actually did get those opportunities. We need to always be ready, always have it on our mind, always cherish the gospel and cherish the verses that talk about it. I think of in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gospel, or 2 Corinthians, it talks about the gospel being a fragrance, something that's enjoyable, something that's good, something that we'd like to share. The third thing that we need to do to find witnessing opportunities is to be an ambassador. It says in verse 20, it says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it bodily as I ought to speak." So we're an ambassador. That's what we are. That's what we are as Christians. Now, I looked up the definition of an ambassador, and here's what I came up with. It says, "A person who acts as a representative or a promoter of a specified activity." So someone who acts, someone who you can see promote a certain thing. So as Christians, we're promoting what Christ is all about, what the Word of God is all about. I've heard this so many times, and I've even seen it in ministry, and that's, you are most likely the only Bible that an unsaved person sees. And if we lived like that, if we lived like we were the only Bible that a person saw, I think we'd live a lot differently. I think we would delve into God's Word so much more. One of the examples that really impacted me is there was this one kid in my youth group in Wyoming, because I worked as a youth staff, and most of them were public school kids. And this one kid, I know, I'm pretty sure that he's not saved, and I think the only Bible he's ever seen was me and my friends from Bible school. He didn't know any of the Bible. He's never even read the Bible. He's heard about it, but he's never read it personally. So his only way to see the Bible was through us. And eventually I actually got the opportunity to give him one. And that was really, really cool. And I really liked that, because I was intentional about my outreaching, about building relationships, about really hurting for the lost, hurting for this boy that never grew up with the Bible, never understood what Jesus did for him. So I think of another way you can picture an ambassador as a last name, you know. That's kind of how we are as Christians. We carry Christ's name wherever we go. When people look at us, they see Christ. So that's important to remember that, and to remember that as ambassadors, we can't live our lives just in our own strength. We need to be filled by the Spirit. Because in Romans 7, it talks about Paul doing stuff that he didn't want to do and not doing the stuff he did want to do. And so in Romans chapter 8, it talks about how Paul figured out that the Holy Spirit is what helps him live a godly life. It's not about what he does. And so that's important to remember when we're living among unsaved people, when we're in our constant everyday life. So as Christians, we need to be doing three actions to find witnessing opportunities. We need to pray, we need to be alert, and we need to be an ambassador. We have a great privilege to share the gospel. I heard one missionary tell me that sharing the gospel is just one beggar telling the other beggar where the bread is. And that really impacted me in thinking, you know, we all started out as beggars. We all started out as sinners. But it's just telling another person, another beggar, where the bread is, where salvation is, where a relationship with God is. There are gospel opportunities all around us. They're everywhere. They're in everyday situations, everyday life. Every time we go to Walmart, there's opportunities. Every time we go get our groceries. I think of one time when I was in an evangelistic group that tried to be intentional about going to groceries. They would talk about how to maybe even share the gospel in common everyday life. And it was encouraging to know that we can do that and we have the opportunity to do that. See, Midland is starving. Midland needs bread. And we're the beggar that knows where the bread is. So we should definitely pray and have that urgency of someone who's starving, someone who knows where the life is, someone who can share where the life is. Are we praying for boldness and sensitivities and opportunity for the gospel, or are we keeping it to ourselves? So, as we go out tonight, look for witnessing opportunities. Look for different ways that we can share the gospel. Build your relationship with the lost. I think of all the relationships I've had. I think of one of the ways that I still remember someone close to my heart is we had a foreign exchange student that he was very unsaved and very lost, but we stayed in the same house. And he really liked to talk to me about things. And he was really open to talk to me about things. And we were almost like a brother. We had a brother relationship. And it burdened me to know that he hasn't accepted Christ yet, but I kept something of his. And every time I look at it, it's a blanket. And every time I look at it, I brought it to college with me. I pray for him. And I pray that someone we'll share the gospel with him and that someone will reach out to him. And I just think it would be such a blessing if we picked people in Midland to pray for that we know personally. And maybe even when we get to heaven, we'll see them someday. I mean, that's one of the most coolest things, I think, for me. So we need to look for opportunities. I think of this morning, Pastor Dan talking about Zacchaeus and talking about how Jesus intentionally saw him. While everyone else saw him as a tax collector, as a sinner, Jesus intentionally saw him as a lost soul that needed Christ. So I challenge all of you guys to really keep each other accountable. Pray for each other about sharing the gospel. Think of creative ways to get out into the community, creative ways to build relationships with starving people, people that need God's Word and need salvation. And I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor Dan. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you that I can share what's on my heart, and I thank you that you gave us the gospel, you died for us, you carried the cross up Calvary's Hill. Thank you for all the suffering you went through, and I thank you for doing what we couldn't do as sinful man and living the perfect life for us. I thank you for giving us a gift, and I thank you that you gave us the opportunity to share it. I thank you for just the church I grew up in and their focus on the gospel. And I pray for all the people here that they would be intentional about sharing the gospel and look for hurting people that need you. I thank you for just all you've done, and I thank you for giving me this internship and that I can just impact the life of the high schoolers. I ask that you'd give them a safe trip back the rest of the way, and that they would just really enjoy each other's company and maybe even talk about what they learned at camp. I thank you for giving me so many opportunities to learn about you and make life decisions at camp. And I ask you to be with all these people going out into the community, going out into the world, that they would just take opportunities to share the gift that you gave to us. And in your name, amen.
Amen. Was that a blessing to you? I heard it. Okay. It was a blessing to me, Mitch. Thank you for sharing. What a great challenge to be intentional, to be intentional. And someone once encouraged me, when a thought comes to your mind that you knew came from the Lord, don't take it lightly. Now, none of us have arrived. Boy, I sure know I haven't. One of my problems is I get so many thoughts and I write them down because I'm going to forget that. My problem is keeping up with all the stuff I write down. I'll be honest with you. I don't do it. I try. I work at it. And I'm going to keep working at it. But I'll tell you, those thoughts of reach out to that neighbor, you know, take a cake over to that person. Do that. That didn't come from the devil. That came from God, right? I mean, when those thoughts come, we know that's the Lord prompting us. And I'll be honest with you, this was great for me tonight. You challenged my heart, Mitch, because I've got some people I've written down on my list that I need to phone them, or I need to get in touch with them in some way, build a relationship. So tonight, boy, everybody here is going to really love you. They're going to expect Pastor Dan is going to let us out early on every service because Mitch set the example here tonight. This is great. Thank you for a great message. But that's very timely because this is community night. And so look for an opportunity yet tonight. The night is yet young and it's not getting dark at 7 o'clock. Praise the Lord. And so let's just look and let the Lord lead us this evening. I know I have some things on my heart, some phone calls, some contacts. I know God's put on my heart. I just haven't gotten it done. And I'm going to go make some phone calls and make some contacts tonight. And I hope that you'll do the same. So God bless you. We're dismissed. And let's go and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.